Well, good morning, everyone. Hope everybody had a great Christmas. And Alan McCarley, thanks so much for that introduction. That was incredible. If anybody's ever about to do something that's a little nerve-wracking or maybe they're nervous about it, call Alan. He will pump you up and give you the good word and praise you. And I've actually had a lot of texts and messages this past week, you know, praying for me and just giving me a good word. So I appreciate every one of you to help me out. It's, you know, definitely a new thing for me, but I appreciate it. So, my name is Kelly Gustafson, and with me and my wife, Morgan, we've been coming to this church for Morgan's been to this church since, I think, birth. I think she's born into it. But I've been coming consistently for about 12 years, and we have four kids, Stevie, Royal, Georgie, and Valley. And like I said, this is the first time I've been asked to teach, and I think a little bit of arm twisting from Mark, he finally got me up here, and so bear with me a little bit and kind of going through some notes, and if I talk a little fast, give me some signals or something like that. And so today is going to be a little bit different. I'm still going to be kind of talking and continuing our lesson in 1 Peter, but I'm also going to be talking about a Bible study that I just finished up recently, and the Bible study is called the Titus 10. And it's a book about foundations of godly manhood. And the book was written by Josh J. Smith. And it talks about the connection between doctrine, duty, principle, practice, faith, and works. And how to be a godly man, not only in church, but in your everyday life. I'm going to talk about how this study has kind of impacted my life, not only in the church, but as my role as a husband, father, and a member of the church. So let's open up in a word of prayer, and then we'll get going. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for all your many blessings. Please just go before me and let me speak your truth, Lord, and just let that spirit go out to the members and just let them accept it, Lord, and just open their eyes and ears and just let them hear your word, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. If you'd all turn to 1 Peter 4, 1 through 6, I'll go ahead and read that. Therefore, since Christ suffered in his body, arm yourself also with the same attitude, because whoever suffers in the body is done with sin, and as a result, they do not live the rest of their earthly lives for evil human desires, but rather for the will of God. For you have spent enough time in the past doing what pagans chose to do, living in debauchery, lust, drunkenness, orgies, carousing, and detestable idolatry. They are surprised that you do not join them in the reckless, wild living and the heap abuse on you. But they will have to give account for him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. For this is the reason the gospel is preached, even to those who are dead now dead, so that they might be judged according to human standards in regard to the body, but live accordingly to God in regard to the spirit. Now, to catch up a little bit from our past lessons, I always like to recap just because it's been a long few weeks. And you know, kind of like on TV shows, how they say it's like previously on Cottonwood Community Church, you know, brings you back to what we've been talking about and gets your mindset back into the study. It's just been a long week with Christmas and the business of the season. So we've been reading in 1 Peter about the suffering and the trials that we have gone through and how we must turn from evil. We must refrain or remain faithful even in the face of trials, knowing that the ultimate reward is eternity with Christ. Tom talked about being in a hostile world, and he gave us some points on what we must do when people attack us. Jerry spoke about righteous living, and even if you suffer for good, you will be blessed. And then Matt talked quite a bit about Christ already died for us to be free in him. God has bigger plans for us, and we are usually blocked by our own sin and insecurities. And I'm allowed to kind of quote him exactly because he's not here, so he'll never know, so it doesn't matter. But he said, which I really liked, was declare God's glory, display God's glory, despite the suffering. So that's kind of like the theme of 1 Peter, and it's just talking about the suffering that we will go through as Christians and what we must do. So in 1 Peter 4, it starts out saying, therefore. And so what does therefore mean? It's kind of because of this, right? So because of this, it says Christ suffered in his body. And how did he suffer? He was crucified. So because Christ was crucified, arm yourself also with the same attitude, because whoever suffers in the body is done with sin. in the verse 2, as a result, they do not live the rest of their earthly lives for evil human desires, but rather for the will of God. So when Mark first sent me this passage to read, he gave me some notes, and he kind of outlined a little bit of like how it kind of should look like, and you know, helping me out with a lot of things. And some of the comments that he said, you know, read this and underline something. He said, this line has been debated over for years. And I said, oh, great. Thanks, Mark, for giving me a hotly debated verse and like controversial. And then Matt talked also about how even Martin Luther had trouble talking about these passages. And I was like, okay, Martin Luther had trouble. I'll do it, you know. So it's been kind of a struggle, but you know, like when Matt started talking, I just sat in my chair taking notes, and I heard him say that, and I started to get nervous, sweaty palms, and just ready to go. But then I moved forward with reading and preparing the lesson. There are so many resources available to pull from, so many books and websites that really break things down. And thank you, Jeff. Where's Jeff? Thanks so much for that resources. There's amazing things out there. And I really kind of found the answer in the first verse. And it says, arm yourself with the same attitude of Christ. And Christ's attitude was assurance. He knew what he had to do and what would happen. He didn't think about the what ifs, what's going to happen if, you know, I get crucified. He knew exactly what was going to happen. He knew that he would suffer and die and raise up in glory. And John MacArthur says that just as Christ has suffered, we too will endure suffering. And if we suffer for righteousness like Christ did, we can lead a life that is no longer dominated by sinful desires, but is aligned with God's will. So does that mean like when we are saved, we stop sinning and we're perfect? No, absolutely not. But it means we have a desire to repent and sin no more and to have a life for Christ. We want to be with Christ in life. And then the suffering that we do endure, it's the suffering from not sinning. It's being different from this world. The suffering comes from the world that's trying to beat us down and take us away from Christ, and we just get to keep our mind focused eternally. And the world tries to throw everything at us they can, but if we keep our minds focused, we will have victory in Christ, just like he did. And then who here has gone through suffering in their life when maybe they haven't been close to Jesus or maybe they weren't saved at the time? Like, everybody's gone through suffering, right? And how was that? It's pretty terrible, right? And then when you are living in the Word, when you have a relationship with Christ, and do those sufferings just go away? No, absolutely not. They are different sufferings because you have someone to lean on. You got to keep your eyes on Jesus and live for God, arming yourself with the mindset of eternity with Christ. I always talk about it with my wife and family that keeping your mind set eternally is the only way you can go through things. Because if not, we've all seen unbelievers suffer, and it seems like it's so much worse, right? So keep your eyes on Christ and think eternally. So getting ready for this lesson, as nerve-wracking and, you know, heart beating out of my chest as it was, it's actually probably been one of the best Bible studies I could ever do, because when you're going to teach someone something and you got to make sure you know what you're talking about, you dive deep, you look at references, you go through other books, and it has just been amazing. And I've actually kind of got a little taste of it the past year, because after, you know, our dear friend Fred passed away, there was a big void in the leadership, and, you know, mainly our BSF and Bible studies, that, you know, I noticed that sometimes I'll just go to the Bible study, do the lesson, listen, you know, conversate with people, and then take off, and that's about it, and then do the same thing the next week. And it's great to go to the studies, but I knew that my spiritual growth wasn't what it needed to be. And I know that Ron and Steve can attest to this, that when it's your week to lead, you really dive deep into the study. We found that we wanted to rotate the leaders of all our Bible studies so that everybody got a chance to run that. And so when you do lead, you just dive deep into it and you really pay attention and you learn so much more. And that's been a huge growth for me personally. And I've seen it in many of the men in the church. Like, we're doing it right now in our BSF. Every week it's a new leader, and it's been really great to watch people kind of get out of their comfort zones and lead and preach, or just lead the service. And not only does it help the individual, it helps the leaders in our church as well, the people leading the Bible studies, because they don't have to do it every week. I found from when Fred did pass, I found how much he really did. And it is just mind-boggling, like how many things that he was involved in. and to help out any of the leaders, any of the people that are helping out with studies and stuff like that is just incredible. So that's kind of like, it takes me into the Bible study that I just finished up. And like I said, it's called the Titus 10, and it's Foundations for Godly Manhood. And in this study, it talks about how Paul is writing a letter to Titus, and he's sending him to go to a church in Crete. And he's telling him how to approach this church to kind of get them away from their sinful practices. He lays out the ways how to build a strong church, and through Christ, you build a foundation of strong, godly men. And from everything there, everything will kind of branch out and build around it. The book contains 10 foundations to become a godly man: dominion, gospel, identity, assignments, authority, character, doctrine, mission, zeal, and investment. In each chapter, the author talks about how godly men must not only build solid foundations in their own life, but take those foundations and spread them into the church body and build up foundations of strong and godly men in younger generations as well, because that's the only way the church grows. And for me, I mentioned, like, I noticed a shift with the Bible study leaderships, but a big one actually was the announcements. And it brought me out of my comfort zone. I never did anything like that before, just much like today, just way out of my comfort zone. But it led me to interact a lot more with the church body. And so I met so many more people. I would do more things and talk to more people. And so it really grew my church fellowship. And it was just nice to kind of do something different than I was used to, because a lot of times I would just come to church, listen, and, you know, fellowship and have break and go home, and then the next week do the same thing. And so it brought out a different aspect of my life. And so I was able to interact more with the church body and be available for the church as well. Let's see. The more you start focus on your relationship with Christ, you naturally start to focus on other relationships. With this book, it, like I said, it kind of helped out with other aspects of my life. It led me to be have an intentional life with my marriage, my work, me being a father. And being intentional for being a husband is pretty incredible, because being a husband is a lot of responsibility if you're going to lead in a godly way. God calls you to lead your wife and your family, and I mean, luckily I have a lot of examples of that. My own dad, Steve, members of the church, is just incredible to be around very godly men and to see them be, you know, grow up their families and spread the foundations of the church. There's a chapter in the book, it's called Investments. And at first I thought it was at the end of the book, and I thought it was like, are they going to teach us like how to save? Like, what do you mean? But it actually talks about investing in godly mentors and teachers. And it talks about the importance of having men of all ages teach each other and grow each other in different ways. Young men, old men, they all have something available for each other to grow in different ways. And one of the quotes in the book, it says, every man needs to hear sound teaching and see good examples. And that goes for women too. This book is mainly just about godly manhood, but it obviously goes for women in this church too. I know there's a lot of great examples of godly women, and it's just, when you build a foundation of godly people, it just grows the church like no other. Another aspect of my life was just to be intentional with my kids. When you're raising kids to be followers of Jesus, you want to teach them all the right things to do, the rules, and follow those, but, you know, you're only human, you sin, and you get angry, and you kind of break those rules, and so it's really tough to do that. But Morgan and I have had a lot of talks about just our intentionality with our kids and our tone, our volume, and especially my words when I'm explaining things to them, because if you don't lay out the expectations, you're kind of setting them up for failure. And so that's what Christ does for us, is he's laid out expectations for us so we can succeed in him. And I know that God has been growing my relationship and has made other things in my life so much easier. And it's not easier in the way of not having any struggle, just like our verses in 1 Peter. It reframes that suffering as an opportunity for spiritual growth, to witness to people and develop deeper fellowship with Christ. So this study has been a complete eye-opener for me, and I encourage every man, young, old to do this. I know we're going to keep on continuing this study and grow and spread out. So I know we'll probably have updates for the beginning of the year. And Jared Zambrana has helped me out with that a lot and to grow that. So I really encourage every man, like I said, young and old, to get into a Bible study, any Bible study. This one's particular for men is just incredible. But, you know, really just get involved as much as you can because it'll change your life like no other. And Morgan sent me a stat the other day, and at first I was pretty shocked by it just because it's pretty crazy. But then the more you think about it and the more studies you read and verses, it starts to make a lot of sense. And it's it says that when a woman comes to Christ first, there's a 17% chance that her family will follow and become believers. But when a man comes to Christ first, there's a 93% chance that the family will follow and become believers. Oh, we wanted to check the kind of credibility of that stat and just kind of look into it a little bit more. And there's differences of a little bit of the number percentage, but it all kind of remains pretty much the same. That it's the same thing as that when men choose to have a relationship with Christ, it has a profound impact on the family and trajectory of the future generations following Christ. So as I was kind of putting this all together, thinking about struggles in life and everything going on in everybody's life, I kind of started thinking about a picture. And I love sports. I grew up playing sports. I watch it, and I love, you know, cheering on a team. And I kind of got the feeling, or I thought about a game with life. And you know, when you watch, or you have a team that's maybe like in a championship game, and you for some reason you can't watch it that day, so you record it, and you're going throughout your day, and then someone comes and say, "Oh, did you see the game? They won!" And you know, it ruins your day. You're bummed, but then you're kind of happy because your team won or something like that. But you still want to go watch it, right? Like you still want to go see what happened. And there's been times where I've done that, and I'm watching the game, and it's a close one, and it's going back and forth, and bad things happen. You start to get a little nervous, even though you know the ending of the game, you know it, but you're just like, "Oh no, what's gonna happen?" You know, so you get anxious. So I thought about that with life a lot because we know the ending. You know, like Alan just talked about, we're going through Revelation in our BSF. Like, we know what will happen. Christ is victorious. He has won already. And so things will still happen in our game of life. We'll still get beaten down and beat up on, and we'll go through sufferings. But we have to focus on who won and why that has happened. So Mark said the other day, a couple things I just really loved, and I'm just going to repeat that. So the enemy was destroyed, Christ is king, and he sits on a throne in heaven. So if we keep our mind set eternally, that changes our perspective on all things that we're going through in life. Oh, kind of to close things out, and Alan touched on it a lot, just the end of the year, it's one of my favorite times of year just because there's a lot of reflecting. It's Christmas, it's my birthday, it's a really great time. But you think a lot about what's happened in the past year, and then you think a lot about what's going to happen this next year, what you want to do, what you want to change. And I really want to, like, encourage you guys to think about how do you want Christ to work in your life this upcoming year, and pray for him to open your eyes and your heart and your ears to encourage you to do something to grow in a relationship with him and be intentional about listening to God. So be intentional about what he says and act on what he wants to do. There's a quote from the book. It says, "If you are not attending, serving, and supporting a local church, you cannot become the man God wants you to be." And I really love that quote because it doesn't say attending or serving or supporting a local church. It's attending, serving, and supporting. If you guys, you know, look around, look what chair you're sitting in, the mats on the ground, the coffee that you've been drinking, the snacks, speakers, set up, everything. People are supporting this church. They're serving it in so many different ways. And it's just, I think it's really important to be involved in all aspects of the church and to grow that. And that's how you build a strong church and a foundation for Christ. 1 Corinthians 12:12 says, "The human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one whole body. So it is with the body of Christ." So it is with the body of Christ. So everything comes together and makes a whole church, just like the body of Christ. And I'm going to end on one final verse, and I think it relates to 1 1 Peter 4 a lot, and Morgan sent this to me the other day, and I just really enjoyed it. It's, you know, another reference when you're trying to study on something and you get references from all over, and it's just really great to see how it all connects and intertwines with itself. And it's Galatians 2:20. My old self has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. So I live in this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So this is just a really great encouragement for the rest of the day, the rest of the week, rest of the month, rest of the year, into next year, is to think eternally and arm yourself with what Christ had, is that assurance that he has won and he is the victor. So everybody go ahead and bow your head. We're going to close it out. Dear Lord, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for your many blessings. Lord, we just ask you to go before us and just help us grow in your word, Lord. And when we hear you, act on it and be involved in our church and listen to your calling, because I know you are pursuing us, Lord. And just help us all open up our hearts and listen to you, Lord, and follow your word. Thank you so much for this day. In Jesus' name, amen. No. Thank you, guys. You're excused.